Welcome to Nourished by Spinneys, the podcast which promises to inspire you to eat well and live well. I'm Tiffany Eslick.
And I'm Devina Devecha. Welcome to a space where we hope to nourish your heart and soul. On this show, we chat with leading players in the food community, from farmers to foodies, as well as health and well-being experts. It's all about engaging conversations and fresh ideas.
Today, we're chatting with Dubai's OG pizza pioneers, Michelle and Bill Johnson, who run the much-loved and award-winning pizzeria, Pitfire. Pitfire opened nearly a decade ago and are just about to open their sixth branch in the city in a few weeks.
So I don't remember exactly when I first tried Pitfire, but ever since I did, I have been a loyal customer. So I was definitely excited to record this episode.
So we grabbed all our gear and popped into one of their earliest locations in JLT, which is this cozy 300 square foot pizzeria where we got to try a couple, actually way more than a couple of pizzas, which you'll also hear about, and all the attention to detail they put into their menu. We were there on a Tuesday, a little after lunch, and the place was buzzing. It's so nice and quiet all of a sudden after, this has been a buzz for the last 3 hours. I thought we could start with those typical Dubai pickup questions. If you could tell me a bit about like your backgrounds and how long you've been in the city, you know, where are you from and how long have you been here?
So we've been here since October 2007, and we moved here from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And my job took us here. Previously, I was an HR director, so that was my career before leaving that behind to look after Pitfire. So we've been here now for whatever that math is, 16 years.
We don't have to figure it out. We need a lot of pieces. And how did you end up with Pitfire? I know you've been passionate about pizza since you were a kid, Bill.
Yes. You know, my grandfather, he was a German baker in Brooklyn, and then he moved out to Long Island. And so I had these memories of being around him baking and the smells of fresh baked, German breads and things like this. And I think that there's a bit of a propensity there with me for a connection with pizza and more or less the dough, because we really are bakers. We're a pizzeria, but we're bakers. If you visit our website on our about page, there's a black and white photograph of a little kid on a bicycle, and behind him is a restaurant called Dion's Pizza. And that's me on that bike in 1976. So I would have been 11 years old. And so ever since in the summertime, I'd ride my bike up, and it was 75 cents for a slice of pizza and a Coke. And it started there to the point. When I was in high school, I would literally go to that restaurant into the back alley, trying to figure out what canned tomatoes they were using and, what the ingredients were, because I really was interested in opening up my own pizzeria early in life.
It was something that he never quit talking about. And so it's not like it was like it just came out of the blue.
Yeah.
It was something, we talked about it while we were in Malaysia. We talked about it while we were in, we lived in Seattle for 4 years before moving to Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Those 4 years that we were there, Bill witnessed the sort of blossoming of the independent pizzeria scene. And so that really happened there. And I think that was a very inspirational time for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what we're doing, only just different people doing their own thing and focusing just on pizza,
craft
pizza. And that, I think that stuck in his head in terms of like, if I ever do it, this is what I want to do. I want to do it like that.
Yeah.
In Malaysia, we didn't do it because it was just too risky, but when we got to Dubai, we had, had 10 years of being expats. Both of us had expat job. We had been able to save some money. We had, we found a business friendly environment,
mm-hmm.
expat friendly business environment here.
Yeah.
And we also realized there was no good pizza here.
Indeed. I was here at that time.
Mm-hmm. He found this International Pizza Expo, which is in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I was drug along on this pizza thing up until not too long ago. And he went to it. He spent 5 days. I was speaking to him on the phone every night, and he was so inspired because he just learned so much and got, spoke to all these different suppliers and things. And he came back and he said, "We can do this." And I was like, "Well, okay." And then he said, "I'm going to need a professional pizza oven." And I said, "Really?"
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, "Fine, have your oven." And I was like, because I'm the cook at home, to be honest. I mean, I do most of the cooking. I'm a passionate home cook. And I was like, "Well, if you want to make me pizza, make me pizza." So it was him just toiling away on his own, and I was just kind of watching, and then it just sort of went from there.
Yeah, amazing. And would you say you are living the dream? I mean, how many outlets do you have now? And, you know, you're such a well-known brand.
We'll have our sixth in the next couple of months. So six here in Dubai.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And to co-tell on what Michelle was saying, you know, understanding the pizza industry has always been another interest of mine. So, you know, every industry, whether you're in the airline industry or the automobile industry, or the restaurant industry, it's all about segmentation. And segmentation is understanding, you know, where you fit within the pizzeria industry. And a lot of that is dictated by your style, what type of oven you're using. And since we've lived here, it's always been kind of a chain dominated market. And then you have the Italian guys, but none of the craft artisan guys in the marketplace. And so to say, yeah, I think we're the first independent, really craft focused artisanal pizzeria in the market here. And I've always seen Dubai as a springboard into the food and beverage sector for the whole Middle East. It's really one of the last frontiers for food and beverage. So the opportunity for us was to really jump in and be a homegrown, solid, really high quality artisan craft pizzeria. And that was my dream. And so, yeah, living the dream to some extent.
Yeah. Are there more highlights than challenges, let's say, along that journey, or equal?
Well, you know, the thing that we actually really love about this business is the people in it and the relationships that we've developed and the passion that people have for that are in this industry. But that said, you know, the learning curve to get really good at it, it's a tough one. I mean, just as an example, when you start really small, like we're in this little restaurant right now, which is 378 square feet where we started, you know, the suppliers won't give you any attention. Your costs are really high from all the suppliers. So your food costs are really high. It's really hard to get employees to come to work for you because they come to your space and they're like, what is this? Right. And you start out doing all of it yourself. And fortunately, Michelle and I, we both have very complementary skill sets, kind of we're a really great team. And that's been something I think is 100% really led to the success of our company long-term, which is now going to be 10 years.
Amazing.
Next year. Yeah. 10 years old.
Can't wait for the 10-year anniversary pizzas that you bring out. Yeah. Yeah. And what is your style? Can you sum it up in a sentence?
It has the visuals of a Neapolitan pizza, which means a big puffy charred crust and, you know, funked up toppings and a big steaming thing that's got a lot of char on it, you know, that's blended with a New York style pizza for a longer bake. If you're a Neapolitan, you have your 10 pizzas that are kind of like boilerplate for every pizzeria. And we've really branched out and we've very much funked up our menu, and we have some really interesting flavor profiles and some flavor combinations. And so, that would be our style. I think craft, independent, Neapolitan meets New York looking type pizzas.
That deliver really well.
Yes, for sure. Yes. Talking toppings, I have my favorite. What are the most popular toppings in Dubai?
I mean, our sort of three best-selling pizzas are the pepperoni primo, the margarita, and the truff daddy, because Dubai loves truffle. And Truff Daddy is relatively new to the menu. It's only been around for a couple years. Took me a long time to get there with it because I don't particularly like truffle. So it took me a while to, like, you know, get through tasting it enough times to come up with something. But, you know, when we create a pizza, we really want to do something that no one else is doing. And that's, you know, so there's a lot of truffle pizza out there, but there's not one like the Truff Daddy. So, mushrooms, onions, you know, very common toppings. People love those. Mushrooms is a huge one. How many mushrooms do we go through every month?
We go through about 18,000 kg of mushrooms a year.
Oh my goodness.
Brown mushrooms.
Wow.
Yeah. He made the switch from white to brown about a year ago.
No, about 3 years ago, I guess.
3 years ago?
Just figured out that white mushrooms, shed a lot of water. And I was like, duh, you know,
yeah.
And moisture is the enemy of pizza, right? Water. Yeah. So I'm always looking for opportunities to get rid of water. And brown mushrooms kind of hold their form and their shape. They're a little more expensive,
yeah,
but they have better flavor and they still look like mushrooms. White mushrooms kind of just melt away, you know, and you're left with a kind of a soupy mass.
Yeah. I just want to point out what you're hearing here from us is an obsessive attention to detail, a refusal to cut corners and take shortcuts,
yeah,
and a commitment to what it takes to do that. And that's, I think, what's kept us, you know, our quality as good as it is, if not improving, for as long as we have. You know, it's so often that you see restaurants here open and they start out great and then they go down. But, you know, when you have the owners, the founders, the creators that are just refuse to step away from that quality, which is us in a nutshell,
yeah,
then the sky's the limit to what you can do.
And I think that filters down to all your colleagues, you know.
It does.
And then you're going to get that inherent passion from them and they're going to want that quality as well and be proud of what they're putting out, you know.
Yeah.
I think any pit fire that I've been into, like, staff is friendly and you can talk to anyone and ask about ingredients and you just feel that, like, friendliness and familiarity and it's like you're going into a family place who really know what they're doing.
They love what they do. They love seeing how happy the food makes people.
Yeah.
One of our big challenges is the guys who are in the delivery only kitchens. They don't get to see that.
Yeah.
You know, so we try our best to show them videos and make them know, you know, how much joy that what
Move
they do every day
bit.
Is giving them. And yeah, because the guys that are they're here all the time, they see it all the time.
Yeah.
And they get compliments all the time, you know. Pizza was great, thank you. And that really makes them feel good.
Absolutely.
And they're proud to work for a brand that's won so many awards and so well thought of.
Yeah. And talking about awards, how are you feeling about the latest Time Out Award?
Me personally, that one was, apart from the global one we got late last year, which was a complete surprise, I've been lobbying Time Out ITP for a pizza category in their restaurant awards for years. And, you know, last year they added a burger category and this year for the first time they added a pizza category. And I was like, thank you guys. Thank you. And, you know, they had a good reason for not doing it. It was because there just weren't enough good, you know, good independent restaurants that you could call just pizzerias actually out there. And a lot have popped up. So, you know, they finally got to a point where, there were 10 that they could shortlist.
Well, and it was hard for them because, you know, earlier I said, you know, what's your style? So in North America, there's 22 different pizza styles. In Italy, there's 8 different pizza styles. The Japanese got their own thing going on, right? And so to say best pizza was like, okay, they were like, do we do best American pizza? Do we do best Italian pizza? Do we do best style? What's the Now they just call it pizzeria. And, you know, we really feel like at the same time, you know, we do have a great product, but creating a pizzeria culture in Dubai is something that we're dead set on trying to accomplish. You know, we're in most of the parts of the city, we have a pizzeria that endures for 15 or 20 or 30 years, you know.
And we've never left a lease that we've entered into. Mm-hmm. I think they made a good choice.
Yeah.
And they focused not just on the product, but on the actual experience.
Okay.
Because that's what Time Out are about, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
You know, so, and this particular spot was the one that got nominated. This is where they came and shot the B-roll and stuff like that. So it's been here. It's a little neighborhood pizzeria for nearly 7 years.
Mm. I mean, you can see it. Tuesday afternoon, 4 o'clock,
yeah.
And it's pumping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I had time every Tuesday to eat pizza at 4 o'clock. Can we get a bit technical about the dough? So first of all, where are you sourcing your ingredients from?
A lot of our products come from Italy. I would say the majority of them. Our cheeses, our hard cheeses, our flour, our olive oils, many of our toppings, you know, tomato sauce, right? Our cheese is made by Italian Dairy Products, which is a really great group of people in Ajman, where they use local cow's milk and they make fresh mozzarella here. And we try to go local where we can. There's some really interesting farms that are coming up now that everybody, I think, is becoming more aware of, where they're really producing some great tomatoes, and some of the rocket is really good. Our pepperoni is probably one of our most important toppings. We source that from the United States, and most of our toppings are made in house. So our Italian sausage, which is phenomenal, it's very expensive. We're using a Dutch veal with a Australian butterfat mix in that, mixed to an Italian sausage recipe that's carefully cooked every day.
I loved the Sicilian oregano that you showed me. I mean, that smell was amazing. Thank you. Yeah. If I could get my hands on a whole bunch of that, that'd be great. Mm. You showed me that the dough is kept in the fridge. If you just talk me through that again, that process, that'd be interesting.
I really felt to be great at this business, I had to understand bread. And then when you get into the world of bread, it is really this biological process. And although it's just, you know, four ingredients, yeast, flour, water, and salt. And we use some olive oil in our mix as well. The variables with time and temperature and how much water you use and all the variables there within, there's a lot of moving parts. We'll make 3,000 pizzas on a Friday, and that pizza that you're eating is proofed for 48 hours, right? Which means that we have to have 24-hour proof. That's 3,000 dough balls. And then we have the same day. So at any one given time on a weekend, we have 9,000 dough balls moving around the company. And and that's the game of time. Fermentation is where the aroma comes from. It's where your flavors are derived. It's where the mouthfeel comes from. And, so this is something that we put a lot of energy into. And it's frankly, if you're into baking, everybody will understand this, that there's no end to it. You know, I'm always looking for the next nugget, the next technique, the next trick. And I would say that maybe on average once a year, I find something that's like, okay, there's like an 8% pump, you know, to the finished crust in one way or another. You know,
he's a mad scientist.
Yeah. It sounds like it.
Yeah. I live with a mad scientist.
Yeah. But I said earlier, I think it's that German in me. That's that attention to detail that is obsessive in just this particular sector of my life. I don't know. You know, this is just a thing that I really enjoy. And, it's not instant gratification either. It takes a long time to, you know, there's that, they say it's the 10,000 hour rule, right? You know, so to get great at something, it's 10,000 hours of your energy, right? And I think I'm pushing 10,000 hours right now. I think I'm reaching the limit there, you know?
10,000 hours is a lot. And you know, I got to see that attention to detail when Bill made a couple of pies for us during our recording. The highlight was this new Alfredo pizza with lemon. We got to see the whole process starting right from the dough balls that had been proofed for 24 hours.
So when we open pizza, it's basically fundamentally a three-step process. And the first thing we do is we open the dough, and then we top it, and then we stretch it, pull it, and it goes into the oven.
Okay.
You know, we have now in our company 120 employees, 125. Half of our company are pizza makers.
Wow.
We have 47 pizza makers.
Okay. Right? Well, that's great that you've transferred those skills.
Well, and this is the trick, right? So you can have like the best dough recipe on the planet. You could have the best toppings. You could be making using the best ovens. You could be doing everything right. But if you're not training for technique, mm-hmm. is what we call it. We add a little bit of semolina to the deck, which is basically crushed corn and flour. It's a mix. And that semolina really adds quite a bit of character to our pizza. It's crunchy. All of those little microscopic little corn seeds underneath the dough when it goes in the oven creates like a layer of protection against the dough.
Okay.
Kind of lifts it off the deck, you know. Mm-hmm. We go through, and I know these numbers because I've been just looking at them recently. We go through 5,000 kg of Parmesan.
Yeah.
And 5,000 kg of Pecorino every year.
Oh my gosh.
So if you get your nose in there, you'll smell that Pecorino.
Yeah.
And you can tell it, you can always know when you're eating Pecorino because when it's raw, it smells like a wet dog.
Yeah.
And, but when it goes onto a pizza, it's really umami.
I can't believe I was like, wet dog.
This is like a mix.
What's your go-to, like what do you love to make? What's your favorite topping? Kind of like desert island, yeah. What you had to pick. I've got a gun to your
head. I like our, our Spudnik is like,
yeah, that is beautiful. Good. Yeah.
It's good pizza. I like making the Pipar Primo.
Okay.
That's a good one. This is a big step right here, mm-hmm. especially for our delivery pizzas. And this is called steam out, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so when you bake anything, whether you're baking a steak or you're baking a cake or your whatever,
when you
introduce heat, basically you're like cooking the moisture out of it, right? And so when it comes out of the oven, it's expelling steam.
Yeah.
And we want that process to stop.
Okay.
Before it goes into a box. Otherwise it'll sit in a box and it steams.
Yeah. You know,
and then it gets mushy and soggy.
And so how long will you leave it here for?
Well, for dine-in, we like it to go straight out.
Okay. Yeah.
For delivery, a minimum of 30 seconds.
Okay.
We like 45.
Yeah.
And I'm literally on the camera, like watching the guys, you know,
it's
an important step.
Okay. Fab.
All right. So you can see this is like a fondue almost, right? Mm-hmm. You know? So the whole story was we've just kind of recently added lemon to these pizzas, and it's a thing. So this is a white pie. Some people add lemon, some don't. And I kept seeing it and I'm like, let's do it, right? You know,
yeah.
This is like, it's a really cheesy fondue-y kind of a pizza that's very light actually. But this lemon adds acid, which cuts through everything, and it just makes it this bright, fresh, really nice experience. So try it without a little bit of that lemon, and then try it with lemon and see what I'm talking about.
I'm gonna watch you eat now.
Like underneath the camera. Yeah, please don't all watch me. Thank you, Paul.
When we come back, the Pitfire Duo tell us how they come up with new topping combinations, and mad scientist Bill gives you his tips on getting a great pizza going at home. That's right after this short break. We wanted to take a minute to tell you about our delicious Spinney's Food olive oil, which comes from the 120-year-old Basso family farms in Italy, which is now a fifth-generation business. Davina, if you remember my masterclass with Matthew Jones of Bread Ahead, this is the olive oil we use to make the focaccia.
I remember that. It was delicious.
Yes, and part of the reason for that is their use of the Arbequino olive grown in Italy. Here's Federico Basso.
The Arbequino olive is usually used in blends because it's very sweet and it has that almond taste, which is very different from the typical strong Italian olive oils that we have. So we use it in blend in order to provide our customers with a product that is as balanced as possible. So it's not too aggressive, but it's also not too plain. We want to find the perfect match in order to satisfy our clients, also in terms of organoleptic features of our products.
Here's a fun fact. Federico's father, Sabino, eats extra virgin olive oil and bread every morning for breakfast, sometimes with a spoonful of sugar.
And didn't you say that he's run many marathons? Clearly, that's the trick.
We source their extra virgin olive oil, a truffle-infused EVU, and a signature Mediterranean blended oil as well. So you should definitely grab a bottle of Spinney's Food olive oil the next time you're in store and tell us what you think. Welcome back. This is Nourished by Spinney's. I'm Tiffany Eslick, and you're listening to my conversation with Michelle and Bill Johnson of Pitfire Pizza. And, you know, with all the toppings and everything, so do you keep signature pizzas on the menu no matter what? And then do you play around and introduce new ones every now and again according to seasons?
Yeah.
Or can you talk me through that process? Like, you know, how do you come up with the ideas in the beginning? Do you involve the whole staff? And then, how do you decide what gets cut or stays?
You know, you have to take cues from the most successful restaurant brands in the world. One of them is, for me, is McDonald's. I've been eating that fish fillet sandwich from McDonald's for 50 years.
I've never had one.
Right? McDonald's has learned, you know, that you don't screw with your menu. And people in this day and age in particular, you know, where everything is changing and moving and everything, you know, we have a lineup of 20 pizzas that are just phenomenal. Mm. All of them are good. There's a really deep field of delicious pizzas of all different types and styles. And, you know, to develop new ones is very, very tough. And I brought in today a piece of paper that earlier this year, Michelle and I we had the 2023. I thought, let's get some new stuff going, you know? And we have 25 pizzas and a bunch of different new toppings and things that we're testing. For example, like whipped seasoned ricotta and, you know, andouille and...
Andouille.
excuse me. And none of them made the cut. 25 pizzas we tried.
Please bring it.
We tried so many different ones.
Bacon jam.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just ridiculous, the stuff that we were looking at. And we just decided none of these are worthy of the menu. Mm. So, but, you know, to that end, I mean, I think that the process for us is Michelle and I work together on that. And we're always focused on, you know, really four things when you develop a new flavor profile, which is you got to take cues again from other parts of the food industry, and we take cues from the snack business, right? So you look at the chips manufacturers, and these guys are absolute pros at developing snacks that are balanced with saltiness and sweetness, and fat is a big one, right? Mm. You know, so that's the foundation for us, is always like looking for that flavor, that balance of saltiness and sweetness and fat as the basis of any great pizza. And then you cut that with acid, and then you can cut that with something that's a bit sweeter, balsamic vinegar, for example, or a, you know, a blue cheese dressing or something. And then, you know, when you find something that works, Michelle generally steps in, and it's pulling all that together, but finding balance with that, right? You know, mm-hmm. So having the right amount of fat, having the right amount of saltiness and sweetness, and the toppings, how much is it? Is it too much? Is it too much sauce? Is it too much cheese? Because you could have a great formula, but if it's too wet, if it's got too much tomato sauce on it, it overwhelms everything else out, right? So balance is really important for us.
One of the you know, speaking of that topic, there's two things: collaborations and Time Out Market. Because Time Out Market has been great for us, because they ask each of the vendors to do dishes for specific things. Like when they decided to introduce breakfast, they wanted every vendor to do a breakfast item, and so we developed a breakfast pizza, and we did that together. And that was fun. Yeah. They wanted a festive dish, so I worked on a pizza which was like, you know, had stuffing on it, and you know, actually Paxo stuffing. but it worked really well, and roast turkey and camembert, and you know, so they kind of force us to, and a Ramadan pizza. Yeah. So they force us to come up with new things, and that's been fun, and that's something that I tend to focus probably a bit more on. For the collaborations, that it happens organically. It's never anything that I sit back and plan and go, oh, I want to do a collaboration. Although I am thinking about Shaw Leela Taqueria, I'm thinking about, you know, that is something that I did give a thought to, because she and I have become quite good friends. And you and I were talking about doing like a Spinney's pizza, you know.
We have to make this happen.
Yeah, so they just happen, and they're amazing, and they're fun. And they're,
you know, with the collab that you did with Moorish by Kay, Cornwall. So I had bought ingredients to go and make prawn pasta that night, and I was like, I'm going home and I'm making this. And then Liam posted about it for Meat Go See, and then Chef Gabriella posted it, and I was like, screw that, I scrapped my pasta. I ordered the pizza, it was so delicious. Yeah. That was such a fun collab. So
it was fun. It was fun. And I have to, she drove that one.
Okay.
So she had more or less the outline of them already figured out. And then it was just a matter of me contributing, like, okay, what are we going to use as the base? How are we going to put this together? You know, what are we going to do before bake, after bake, that sort of stuff. And us choosing together, kind of, because she comes with, like, you know, she's like the flavor queen of Dubai.
Yeah, she is.
She comes with so much stuff.
Yeah.
And she's got an amazing palate, amazing imagination.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun with that.
Oh, I love the fact that this community is coming together. You know, whenever I'm meeting people, we all help each other out. And I think
that's happening more and more, too.
Yeah.
Which I like a lot.
Before we move off pizza and onto other items on your menu, do you have any tips for home cooks? We're never going to get your crust, you know, we're never going to get it right, but just a few tips.
I do.
Yeah?
Well, first of all, everything that you need to make a great pizza, you can find at Spinney's.
Thanks.
It's true.
Okay.
So everybody that's listening, get your piece of paper and pen out, right? Take some notes. But by the way, Tiffany, you said prawns earlier, you know, and the Spinney seafood is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
We've not done a seafood pizza. Like, can you imagine some kind of like a really great grilled prawn pizza? That could be fun.
Maybe we could
work on something like that.
No.
We're sticking to us.
We're not going to do seafood. I don't want seafood.
No. Grilled prawn might work. Okay. Anyway.
I'm seeing how this works between the two of you guys.
So you just trot over to your local Spinney's, you get yourself a bag of strong flour. Mm-hmm. Strong meat is the protein content, right? It's not bread flour, but you're looking for strong or extra strong. You get yourself some instant dry yeast from SAF. You get yourself some good quality virgin olive oil. You get yourself some Maldon sea salt, and you go home and you get on the internet and you search around a little bit for a New York style pizza recipe. And there's a bunch of them out there now that includes a ferment, such as a poulish. We use a poulish in our in our dough making process, right? And this is where that all happens with the flavor, right? And so you want to use a New York style because you can successfully cook that pizza in your home oven at home. If you try to do like a Neapolitan, the oven's just not hot enough, right? So allow yourself at least 24 hours because all the magic happens in the refrigerator overnight, where you mix yeast with water and flour. And then you put it in your refrigerator and you control that. So you slow everything down. It's still happening, but you slow it down. And you get your oven on and you get that sucker ripping hot at maximum temperature, 500 degrees. And if you've got a like a piece of limestone or something that you would see, like a slate or something, you know, you can put that in your oven.
They sell pizza stones.
They sell pizza stones, but heat is the thing, you know. So you're gonna be after about a 6 minute bake. Oh, also go back to Spinney's and get yourself a can of crushed tomatoes. Okay, strain it, add some salt, and add a whole bunch of basil leaves that are, and then blitz that a couple times. And that's, you got to let that run for 24 hours because it's a completely different thing the next
day. That's literally our tomato sauce.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Not from Spinney's, but that's how we do it.
Right? Super hot oven. Find yourself a decent recipe on the internet, something that's a fermented recipe, and then just work on, you know, opening a pizza, let it come to temperature so that let it come to room temperature. If it's too cold, it's going to be really hard to work with. So let it rest and, top it. And you don't want cold sauce either. You want your sauce to be room temperature. And, you know, you can go to town with different cheeses and things like that. And, Spinney's also has a great, selection.
Love you, Bill. This is like great.
Yes. Plug it.
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, everything you need is there.
Straight facts.
Yeah.
So there you go. And you should be able to do a really, really great pizza at home. You know, okay.
I maintain that pizzas made at home are the best pizzas because, you know, the person who's done it has really spent the time, has put the love into it, has put the energy into it. And it's so fun. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to show you a picture of my homemade pizza because you're going to think it's terrible. And I'm like, no, I'm going to think it's beautiful because you made it with love, you know.
Your garlic knots have a cult following in the city.
They do.
You know, so how did that happen?
Well, garlic knots are an East Coast North American thing.
Oh, okay.
And they're made in a multitude of different ways. And we were trying to, early on, they've always been on our menu. And when we were crafting our menu 10 years ago, it's like, okay, we got to, you know, let's get an appetizer here that's made from our pizza dough. It's a no-brainer, right? Mm. We didn't know how to tie it. There's different ways you can tie it into balls and you can tie it into different, roll them, you know, there's different styles and techniques. And we just tied it in a bow and popped it in the oven and like, bang, straight out of the chute, we got that one right. And then that's made with, you know, again, you talk about quality ingredients. We use Lurpak, you know, garlic butter, which is a super luxurious butter that we keep super fresh. It's like proper butter.
It's the same every time. It never changes. Mm. We could make our own garlic butter, but if whoever's making it puts too much garlic in it or too much, you know, so we spend the money on the Lurpak because we don't want.
It's just rich and buttery. And
it's just the best you can get. Yeah. And we don't want people going, what's happened to the garlic nuts?
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, you would have an uprising.
So, yes.
But with those garlic nuts are those dressings, you know, we make, I think, honestly, we make the best blue cheese dressing in the city of Dubai.
Mm.
And we're a pizzeria.
That's a
big
statement.
We're not a steak joint.
I think you can say that.
It's really good.
Yeah. We do. It is awesome.
And we've sort of expanded our dipping sauce range over the years.
So let's move on to some other items on the menu. So you've got pastas, delicious apple pie. Who's behind the pasta recipes? Is both of you again?
That's kind of me.
Yes.
So the pie recipe is a family recipe that I've been cooking and eating my whole life. I call it Michelle's apple pie because I'm particularly fond of a crumble topping on pie. And I remember when we were first conceptualizing the menu, going from cooking pizza at home to saying, okay, now we're going to open something. So we have to have a full menu, wondering what I was going to put on the menu. And Bill's like, put your apple pie And I was like, really? It's just so, and he was like, no, it's delicious. Do it. So it's everything is fresh made in it. You know, it's very simple to make, actually. It's not really hard. And I'll be sharing my recipe for it.
Great.
To you guys. As far as the pasta goes, pastas, we focus on pizzas and that's what we sell the most mm-hmm. of. So we try to keep our pastas pretty basic because not everybody wants pizza. Mm-hmm. You know, our pastas actually sell pretty good. They're all really good. I'm proud of all of them. For a long time, we had spaghetti and meatballs on the menu mm-hmm. because it was just, I just love spaghetti and meatballs. And so we had it on the menu and we decided to take it off the menu just to do a little bit of menu cleanup, but also because if I looked at its sales with all the other pastas, it was like the lowest seller. Plus it's the most labor intensive in terms of making the meatballs.
And both Michelle and I we're both meatball lovers, right?
Yeah.
And so to find the holy grail of like meatballs, and I'll just leave just one big tip with your meatballs. Just don't compress them.
Don't overwork.
You just fold and be very gentle. Don't squeeze them down, you know, and then they're
going to get tough.
Then they get tough. Happens to our Italian sausage too. Because it's, you know, it's kind of made in a similar way.
Yeah.
And true, I can tell.
Yeah.
I know when the guys are overworking it and when they're packing it too tight, you know.
Yeah.
You think it's a meatball, you got to like compact it. No. You know, you want it to be nice and soft and light.
That's true, actually. I'm wondering if I overwork mine now. Right. Last question. And you can't answer pizza to this, please. But what nourishes your souls?
You go first.
You go first.
I go first. Well, food.
Okay.
For me.
Yeah.
I love food. I love everything about food. It's the first thing I think about when I get up in the morning. It's the last thing I think about when I go to, you know, I love everything about it. I love cooking. I love cooking shows. I love cookbooks. I love shopping for food. I love eating, and the process of cooking it for me is just very meditative and relaxing. I would say the other thing is, in the last 6.5 years since I left the corporate world to look after this restaurant, yes, it was a challenge at the beginning, but I really love having the freedom to do whatever I want with my days. Mm. You know, my days are not determined by anything other than when you come and say we need to do a photo shoot, and then it's that sets a time for something. But that freedom to phone to sleep in, I sleep in, you know.
Yeah.
But we're working all the time. We talk about it. We're always working, but it's nice to have that freedom.
Oh, thanks. What about you, Bill?
Oh well, gosh, I mean, stole my thunder in every aspect. But mm-hmm. I'll add lager beer to that. you know, I think that one of the things I've come back to that's I think it's been really great for me is I've always been a reader, but I'm more of like an information gobbler. But I've gotten back into reading novels, and I'm reading Act of Oblivion right now. And I ditched my iPad. So I used to lay in bed with my blue screen and go through Flipboard and Instagram and stuff, you know, and I just ditched that when they upgraded my operating software and my iPad was no longer functional. I didn't buy another one. Instead, I started reading. And so reading has been great, right?
Yeah.
Lovely.
And we have a great relationship.
Yes.
that keeps us both going. We're very happily married and husband and wife team and partners in life. And we're very lucky.
Yeah, I mean, you working together. That's great.
We spend almost every waking hour together.
Mm. Well, it's lovely being around you guys. You can feel that, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah. Thanks so much for your time. It's been so great this afternoon. I've eaten my fill of pizza for sure. But yeah, just like really heartwarming. So thanks.
Thank you very much.
It's been great.
Okay.
It was very
having
nice.
You guys.
Very enjoyable. Thank you.
So, Tiff, has the all-new Alfredo pizza with lemon gone to the top of your pizza list now?
It's definitely a hot contender, but I'm not sure if I can ever give up on my favorite mashup, which is the plain Jane with anchovies, capers, and Kalamata olives. Do you have a favorite, Davina?
Yeah, I think mine is actually a tie between Bill's special and also the palm. I wasn't quite expecting the dates on a pizza to work so well, but it did. What do you think?
I really enjoyed it. I'm so glad Michelle told us about it because, I'll order that at my favorite mashup. This episode was brought to you by Spinnies and is hosted by me, Tiffany Eslick, and Davina Devicha. We're produced by Chirag Desai with artwork done by Michelle Clemens and Jihan Youssef. You can follow Spinnies on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok for more. And visit us at spinnies.com, where you can shop for fresh produce and a variety of local and exclusive products.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with Below Farms' Bronte Weir. See you then!